You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. NPR's Student Podcast Challenge is back for its eighth year. The annual competition sees thousands of students and are every year making a podcast about whatever they want. The entries range from cute and comical, like this one from sixth grader Amy Walsh.
Do you ever get home, tired and hungry, and just want a pickle more than anything in the world? That's literally me every day.
Amy and I are on the same page. I usually go home and eat a pickle, so I completely understand Amy. But there are also more deeply personal topics, like 10-year-old Amaya Desai and her podcast, Far From Home, Stories of Forced Migration, all about her grandfather's migration from Uganda to the United States.
My friend from Iran, Ukraine, Afghanistan, Ethiopia, and other communities know either firsthand or through their family members what it's like to be forcibly removed from the place you call home without any notice or any choice.
So for any students who are listening right now and are inspired, submissions are currently being accepted. You must be a student from 4th to 12th grade and enter before the May 31st deadline. In addition to prizes for middle and high school, there will be another special prize this year marking the 250th anniversary of the founding of the United States. Insight senior producer Andrew Garcia spoke with the founders of NPR's Student Podcast Challenge, Janet Ujong Lee and Steve Drummond, about this year's festivities and the 8 years they've been at it.
The Student Podcast Challenge is in its eighth year. When y'all were first coming up with this idea, did you even foresee this level of like success and participation that you've seen over the years?
Oh my gosh, no way. We did this 8 years ago as an experiment. You know, would we get 50 podcasts or 500? We ended up getting 5,000. And it was so much fun. The delightful podcast from around the country, and we've kept it alive every year. We've settled down around about 3,000 podcasts a year that Janet and I have to listen to, every single one of them, and the members of our team. But it's really just been a load of fun. And Janet, we've had something like 20,000 student podcasts submitted so far over the years. Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, we get a couple thousand every year. And especially during COVID, Steve, I know we were worried about the numbers dropping and all that transition. But in fact, with remote learning and teachers just figuring out what to do, we got so many great stories made from students' bedrooms and all from parking lots, wherever students were trying to spend time and cope with different times. And yeah, that's, I think, also part of the fun of it is that each year we get something so different depending on what's happening in students' lives and whatever the students are talking about in school.
Were there any submissions in maybe that first year where you all were like, oh, we're onto something here. We're clearly tapping into like a need for students to express themselves.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you a couple of great examples. My favorite one, Janet's tired of hearing me talk about it, but this little boy in the, I don't know, sixth grade did a story about tater tots and whether his classmates liked tater tots or did not like them.
Tater tots, one of a very good snack to have and very good sauces. Here's what people have to say about tater tots.
Tater tots are very good because they're easy to eat in one bite.
Here's what some more people have to say about tater tots.
I like tater tots because they're mushy and not so crunchy like fries.
Here's someone who doesn't like tater tots at all.
I like tater tots because they're greasy, mushy, lumpy, and they're really weird shaped.
Fifth graders Jack Lazzaroni and Calvin Martinez entered their podcast, Tater Tots and Their Lasting Impact on Society, in the first year of the challenge in 2019. They even took their questions about tater tots beyond the playground, calling up the folks at Orida to learn why people love the crunchy snack so much.
We're going to ask this company called Orida that makes tater tots a few questions.
Okay. How many tater tots do you fill in one bag?
Okay. Now, it just depends on the package, to be honest with you. The tater tots, they go more by weight.
Why do you think so many people like tater tots?
Why do you think? A lot of the time it's because it's very convenient. They like the taste of the potatoes. And they're very easy, and they like the crunchiness.
How are tater tots?
It was just absolutely delightful. Another student that year in New Orleans bought a lead testing kit for water, and he applied it to the drinking fountains in his schools. And it turned out it kind of shut down the New Orleans schools for a couple of days while they had to deal with high levels of lead in the water. And our champions that year were a group of eighth grade girls from Brooklyn.
Ladies of Bronx Prep Middle School have decided to come together and talk about a topic that's taboo both at home and at school. That topic being periods.
They did a podcast about how their middle school did not have feminine products or period products for girls in the girls' bathrooms, and they were pretty ticked off about this.
One time during lunch, I realized I had my period, and I was raising my hand to go to the bathroom, and the teacher didn't let me go. Then at the end of the period, I went up to her. We were about to go to lunch. I said, "I'm on my period." She's like, "Oh, why didn't you tell me earlier?" I'm just like, "Because we're in the middle of class, and you said I couldn't go to the bathroom."
Especially, because when you tell the teacher, they're like, "Oh," their whole mood changes as soon as you say, "Oh, I was on my period."
Facial expression and everything.
I know.
As Steve mentioned, the podcast, Shh, Periods, was the first ever middle school grand prize winner of the Student Podcast Challenge. The seven girls, Raizel Febles, Kathleen Restitujo, Casey Abad, Carolina Abreu, Jasmine Acosta, Ashley Amonqua, and Litzy Encarnacion, met every Thursday that spring to write, record, and edit their podcast, advocating not only for access to period products at their school, but for women around the world to have better access and to break down the stigma surrounding menstruation.
For women to not be able to afford period products, that there is a term for it, period poverty, which is a lack of feminine hygiene products and is felt by 1.2 billion women worldwide. Low-income women struggle to meet basic necessities because they don't have the resources to take care of themselves and their bodies.
They ended up on the Today Show that year, and they sort of changed their school's policies. And that's what like Janet was saying, we never know what we're going to get each mm-hmm. year, and the students just continue to surprise us.
I think that kids and young people should definitely get more credit for the unique and like interesting ways that they see the world. And I think the Student Podcast mm-hmm. Challenge has been a great way of like showcasing that. The sort of challenging, sometimes very personal subject matter that students tackle has been really impressive to hear from the outside. What is it about podcasts as a medium that you think lends itself to that level of exploration? And why do you think it resonates so much with young people?
I think there's something really powerful about students getting to create something that's truly just like their own. Everything from, we also really emphasize as part of the contest that you get to talk about any topic you're interested in. Students really just bring us everything, like you said, like everything from family stories, something that they see in their schools and classrooms, local news stories, investigations, a lot of exploration of personal identity, race and gender, and everything the student like wants to explore. There's something really beautiful about being able to figure out how to tell that story in your own voice. And some students really just also go all out in terms of production and also interviewing other people in their communities and being able to weave those voices throughout. So it's been like a really cool experience, and to see also over the years how much these podcasts have improved. I think in the earlier years, we got some really, you know, some experimental audio stories, like students like recording in the middle of the lunchrooms, which we still get. But now really, because I feel like young people are growing up listening to more audio and podcasts, we get really high quality stuff where students kind of are intentional about how they want to sound like and present their stories and are just like really good about bringing that to us. So that's been really awesome.
The two of you are, of course, radio and audio professionals as well. Have you ever found yourself sort of like being inspired or taking ideas from the students' podcasts into your own careers and work?
Oh, completely so. We hear things every year that we want to take back into our work. I'll give you a really good example. 2 years ago, our college podcast champion from Miami-Dade College mm-hmm. was a student who suffers from schizoaffective disorder.
Why would you tell them I exist? They won't understand. They're gossips.
Stop. You're giving me a headache. Can you shut up for a second?
No, I won't.
Thank you. This is how I've been living my whole life. But you're probably wondering, what is this guy talking about? Who's he even talking to? Well, let me explain.
The way he talked about that in his podcast was he created this imaginary dialogue in his podcast with the with the voices that he hears in his head. And so he used himself talking, and then he had this sort of echoey voice talking back to him.
I have lived a life just as you guys have. My imaginary friend faded away one day,
I'm still here.
I can still hear him talking to me.
Here I am.
These voices that one day I thought were just intrusive thoughts, it was him. And nothing has happened. I'm not dangerous, I'm not crazy, and I'm not delusional.
No, you're not.
I'm just one more guy with a mental health condition living with it.
We all immediately heard this podcast and thought, wow, in all of my years in doing audio journalism, I had never heard someone use that particular technique. And it was really inspiring. And it's also led that young man to a career in journalism. So both from his point of view and ours, we learned something.
We actually had a returning champion for the first time last year who came from our fourth grade contest to our fifth grade winner in the middle school category.
You may remember Amaya from earlier for her podcast about her grandpa. And that's right, she won 2 years in a row. She continued her podcast, Far From Home, Stories of Forced Migration, after her neighbor heard it and wanted Amaya to tell the story of his grandmother. Linda Horikawa and her family were interned during World War II following the Japanese government's attack on Pearl Harbor.
I think there was something really beautiful about the way this young person is asking all the questions, and to hear how sort of the adults respond to those questions in a way that sounds different from, say, if I were to be reporting and asking someone a question.
Amaya explains how she was shocked that she never learned this history before, one that takes place in her hometown.
San Jose, California is where I was born, and it is the only place I've ever known. I always thought of San Jose as a place of great cultural diversity, the home of Silicon Valley. But after meeting Ms. Horikawa, I discovered there is much more to learn about our local history. Stories of forced displacement don't just happen in other countries. It can sometimes happen in our very own backyard. Her story is a reminder of the painful past that is not talked about often enough.
It's the bravery of my dad is the reason we're still here. And I get teary-eyed when I talk about it. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
But it was a bad time for us.
And it is the bravery of Ms. Horikawa, who, like many of her generation, are willing to share those painful memories with today's generation so that we may never forget.
I feel like we're learning constantly, and also thinking about, and Steve and I have also been thinking creatively about how we can incorporate more of these student voices and young voices on the radio. And being a little bit more intentional about that in our own education reporting. How do we get in the classrooms? How do we interview more students to talk about issues and not just the adults in the room?
This year, the podcast challenge has a bit of a special prize to it and a bit of a special theme to it. Could you tell us more about that?
Yeah, we have a special prize to celebrate the 250th birthday of America. And we are really inviting any stories of however students are defining and explaining and exploring the ways they feel American. That's going to be our special prize that we're introducing. This is the second time we've done something like this. The first one was a couple years ago around the topic of mental health when we were coming out of COVID. So yeah, we're really just open to whatever students send in for this category. And on top of that, we will, of course, in case there is any confusion, have the usual grand prizes in the middle and high school categories as well as fourth grade.
What comes next for the podcast challenge? Any pre-plans for the 10-year anniversary? I know it's early.
That is a great question, and we're going to have to do something special. Janet and I just held our first kind of webinar where we just invited teachers or students to come on and just tell us what they think or what they want from the competition. So we're trying to continue. Oh, and I'll give you a sneak preview. We're also working on a comic book that will be of use to teachers and students about how to make a podcast. So one of the things we've tried to do all along is give teachers the support that they need. And to try and explain, it doesn't require a fancy recording studio or a lot of elaborate equipment. Pretty much with a smartphone and a laptop and some free software, you can make a podcast. And that's one of the cool things about this, Andrew, is it's not something that has where we've seen affluent schools or schools from better off neighborhoods becoming the champions. There's sort of a democracy to this in that pretty much any kids with access to a smartphone and a laptop have made podcasts. And we've had many, many winners who have come from all over the country in all kinds of different corners of the United States and all different backgrounds. And that's been kind of fun. So what we're really trying to do is lean into helping teachers or grownups or whoever, club leaders, have the tools that they can use to help kids make podcasts.
That was NPR's Steve Drummond and Janet Ujong Lee, the people behind NPR's Student Podcast Challenge, talking with Insight senior producer Andrew Garcia. NPR is accepting submissions now through May 31st for students as young as fourth grade all the way to seniors in high school. We have a link where grown-ups can help their students apply on our Insight page. Still ahead, stories about sibling dynamics and family will play out at the Sophia this Friday in Sacramento. We'll meet two of the featured storytellers performing at this month's In a Nutshell. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.